Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our rotating team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe and his guests from Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo will San Luis Obispo County will help us to learn about the broad scope of their organization's services. As one of the Central Coast's largest nonprofit organizations, Caps Low reaches most segments of our communities. The diversity of their programs lend support to almost everyone. We'll also look at how the ongoing changes in human services funding under the new administration in Washington, D.C. may affect Caps Low and many other human services programs. We're live today, and we invite you to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation. We can take your calls today at 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. And with that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Good to see you. Good to be with everyone today. I'm Fred Monroe. I'm your host today, and want to remind you that one of our real key goals is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of the community. In some cases, it may be organizations you're very familiar with. In some cases, like my suspicion today is it's an organization you're familiar with in some regards, but there may be programs that Caps Low does that have never been on your radar before. It is Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County. For full disclosure, I need to say in my mind that I used to serve on the board of directors of Caps Low when it was EOC, then became Caps Low. So I do have a fond prejudice in favor of this organization, which people can accuse me of doing if they want to. But I think that's fair because someone will wonder about that if we don't mention it. Would love to hear your calls, 805-781-3875. We can, and if for some reason there's something that you want to know about, but you don't want to be on the air, let Brad know that that's the case, and he will pass the information along to us because that sometimes comes up from time to time. Biz Elizabeth Steinberg, also known as Biz, and she's Biz Steinberg to just about everybody, so she says yes, that's indeed the acceptable way to refer to her, is the executive director of Caps Low, and she is with us today, along with Lauren Leidinger, who is the outreach and development director for Caps Low. They're going to give us a real good understanding of the breadth of programs that Caps Low offers. And because it's a question that will in all likelihood come up in the discussion, we probably need to talk about whether or not some of the funding sources for Caps Low that come from federal programs may be in jeopardy or a concern of the organization, because it's I don't think we need to make it the focus of the program. It's focus of too much news to keep us comfortable these days anyway. But I don't want it to feel like it's been shoved under the table and not discussed from a realistic standpoint, because it's a realistic situation we're looking at. I guess probably we need to start with some kind of understanding of the breadth of program, because my hunch is that the average person in San Luis Obispo County knows about 40 Prado and may know about Head Start, and that's all they know about Caps Low. So let's maybe talk about this. If we were on a visible service as opposed to radio, we could probably have a large wall chart to try and sort this all out. But give us some organizational insight.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, Fred, for having us today. The Community Action Agency for San Luis Obispo County has been around 60 years, and just to start with your first question, we as the organization serves the entire lifespan, from those infants and their and pregnant moms, all the way to our adult day program that serves the families of elders who are experiencing dementia and Alzheimer's, and kind of every age group in between. Just when I think of seniors, seniors that are listening, you can have your home weatherized by our energy program. Someone may need the adult day program. young families. We're recruiting for Head Start Children now. If you're a family of four earning about $26,000 a year, you will get you the phone number and website in a little bit. We're recruiting right now. Please, your children would have a wonderful experience. Health and home, a kind of family health and home.
I want to back up a second, too, because I believe for a lot of listeners, the assumption might be that there's not enough space for kids in Head Start, when it sounds like the reality, and you and I have talked about this before, is that you will pretty much you'll make room for any child that's eligible for Head Start.
Yes. We are, at this time of the year, we are recruiting. We have openings for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers. We fully include young children with any special needs. That could be a food allergy. It could be speech and language. Maybe they have Down syndrome. It could be any young child, birth to five. So please, if your family is in need of assistance and a program for your children, we are there to help. Also, the Child Care Resource Connection. If you are receiving support from our local county Department of Social Services, we have the contract to do the child care, the subsidized child care. This past year, CAPSLO put out over $16 million in care for children across this county. Health programs, and maybe Lauren wants to go with some of the other opportunities we have. We are here to serve all of you that are in need. I want to always see our tax dollars coming back to this community to then be turned into programs that meet your needs.
Yes, and the other couple programs, Fred mentioned 40 Prado, the Homeless Services Center, which hopefully we'll dive into a little more into in the future of this conversation, and then our Supportive Services for Veterans Families, which also supports veterans that are experiencing homelessness. So as Biz said, a wide range of programs.
It's fascinating to think about the breadth of one nonprofit organization. There may be an exception to this, but in my mind, this is probably the largest single nonprofit on the Central Coast. It's not a competition. If we can have five nonprofit organizations that all want to vie to be the largest nonprofit and they're working to serve more people, no one's going to argue.
I think that the community action movement that started, 60 years ago, the Community Action Agency here, called that you were on the board of, which is a former name of the Economic Opportunity Commission, was incorporated by our Board of Supervisors for San Luis County in December of 1965. They decided to set it up as a nonprofit. And they also, and we were focused, this agency is focused on eliminating poverty and providing programs that help do that. Now, with that comes the tripartite board of directors that you were an elected official serving on the board. That is in the legislation that founded the 1,000-plus organizations across this nation. I had no idea back in 1990 or so, which is mark in my time, that we would be where we are today, okay? But community action is a movement. We're an agency that serves quality direct services. We're an advocate. We have sued a governor. And we are always trying to affect institutional change in a community.
It's a large role to take on, and with a large expectation of a very broad population. You mentioned it briefly, along with what people know about most, which is like the Head Start program again in Prado, is the day services program in Paso Robles for Alzheimer's and dementia clients, which is a two balance issue, because not only does it help families that have someone in their family that needs those services, but it gives the actual client who served at that program the ability to deal with people on a regular basis other than maybe their spouse, their child, their adult child, their grandchildren. So it's an interesting diversity of services. We probably can't get away from this. We probably need to explain what your primary funding situation is and how it's being affected by the federal government. And I guess we're early enough in the program. If we can get that out there and at least discussed, we can go from there. Before I turn it over to you again to follow up with that, let me remind folks, the phone number is 805-781-3875. Your calls are welcome, your observations, your experience. You may have been a client. You may currently be a client of some of the services of CAPSLO. You may have been for the 60 years it's been around, you may have been a Head Start child who now has grandchildren in this process. We would love to include you in part of the discussion. So give us a call if you're so inclined.
You know, Fred, the Health and Human Services reorganization that happened a week ago Monday. See, it makes
feels
me,
like a year.
A lot's happened in a week. But with that, I want the public to know that five of the 12 regional offices for Health and Human Services were closed down. What I have a problem with is not being notified, not being given any information, and that sort of is trickled in a little bit later. And when I leave the show today, we will be on a kind of an update on Region 9 operations. But our Head Start program is still functioning. The Congress passed we didn't have a government shutdown. They passed the continuing resolution. Our funding is all secure at this point through September 30th as they begin working on the 26th budget. We are connected to different boards for Head Start, for Migrant and Seasonal Head Start, for health services, for homeless services, for the older Americans. I've always thought it is good to have real live people doing the work to be able to advise. And we'll get calls from Mr. Carbajal's office, Mr. Panetta's office. In other counties, the same happens. They want to know how our families are being affected. And our chief financial officer has been always able to go in and secure the funding. It's all approved to pay the rent for the buildings the beginning of this month, the salaries, etc. So for us, we are trying to anticipate the future, working on some sample budgets should we have any reductions. But at this point in time, we will be that advocate. We will be speaking with our congressional representatives. I always offer tours to anyone and anyone listening. We will put tours together so you can see where your tax dollars are going. The Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program staff in D.C., they are no longer in D.C., but the monies that flow through to our state of California are totally servicing us. We've actually just been given an opportunity to assume additional dollars in our energy weatherization program from organizations in our state who have not been able to spend all their grant money. Lastly, I've been through a few presidential transitions now in my career. When President Obama suggested a 50% cut, we worked hard across the nation so that that did not happen. Senior President Bush had zeroed us out, as had his son. But when it all came down to the end budget, Senior President Bush gave us the largest Head Start expansion that we had ever seen. So there's different approaches I've experienced, our community has experienced, and our colleagues in other nonprofits have experienced. Right now, the hardest issue is not knowing, but still working and meeting the needs of all those folks, children, the veterans, the vulnerable, the unhoused, to offer the best quality program we can and to be ready to serve even more of these folks as things change.
You have been through a lot. It's not over, obviously.
Right.
What comes to mind that is a concern of mine beyond the funding issues is we're hearing more and more about literally organizations that literally are being told, instructed, directed to be less acknowledged as diverse and diversity and inclusive organizations. And I'm wondering whether or not that affects what's going on with CAPSLO.
Well, I think, we are following the executive orders because we, want to make sure that we can continue serving the community. And we feel that as CAPSLO, we've always had core values that, honor and respect all individuals and people in our community. So we're continuing to do all the good work we've always done and moving ahead. Yeah.
We follow the Civil Rights Act, regulations, the ADA. We have many folks with challenging disabilities we're there for. So we have had to work on our language, but our, as Lauren said, our values and our commitment has not changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the lighter end of the work that you do, and it's been the word weatherization comes up often in my understanding of CAPSLO, but if somebody were to say to me what do you think is the most unacknowledged program that CAPSLO does, it would be the home weatherization. Now maybe there are programs that are less well known that are hiding under the table that we can talk about, but a little bit of an explanation maybe or an enlightenment about what the weatherization program is and who that affects in the community.
Yeah, when I am out in public and Biz as well and we're wearing our CAPSLO gear, the thing people most come up to me about to say thank you is about our weatherization and our senior home repair. It's a program that does touch a lot of people in our community, and we don't really advertise it a lot because it's by word of mouth and through, referrals through our social service system. We have so many people to help. But weatherization basically helps people stay in their homes by weatherizing. So it's, installing energy-efficient appliances, right? It's putting ceiling around all the windows and doors so that the homes can be efficient in that way. It's testing the duct systems, where a lot of energy gets lost through the attics and, in homes. So it's a lot of things to keep the home affordable, especially for people who are experiencing poverty. And then the other piece that kind of goes with it is our senior home repair, which is for seniors 60 and over. And I think last year we installed over 1,000 grab bars, a simple thing in the bathroom, but it keeps people safe, right? We also do a lot of bathroom remodels, changing them from bathtubs to showers so people can get in and out as they age easier. And then another thing we do quite a bit of is building wheelchair ramps so that if someone becomes wheelchair bound as they age, that they can get in and out of their home. We've literally had people not be able to get in and out of their homes because of it. So a lot of great programs. We work a lot in senior kind of 50 and over mobile home parks and helping. We just did a huge project in San Luis Obispo.
With heat pumps, it's like the new thing to do. And Jim, our director, would be able to speak more articulately than I can. But the state of California and PG&E, et cetera, the city of San Luis, because we did a pilot here, everyone's working hard on the climate action plan for our county and our different cities. So our crews are constantly learning about the new machines and I don't even know what to call them,
apparatus is a good word, yeah.
All that helps, like Lauren was saying, and that's why we don't really advertise. We serve so many. And if you have a disabled child, they also can qualify under the family. So lots of good work. And one of our crew guys was one of the first people trained, well, this is how old I am, way back in the CETA training, CETA, Center for Employment Training Association, something like that. But he was trained, and he was in the Tribune with a picture laying the insulation in the ceiling of the City Hall downtown. This is Ben, and he's been with us 40 years. So the expertise just keeps evolving and growing to meet the needs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Lauren, we're in that needs assessment period under mm-hmm. your watch that I think is important for our local plan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So our team at CAPSLO every other year does a community needs assessment to reach out to other partner organizations, to the people we serve, various other stakeholders like our board members and elected officials and people who are leading organizations to determine what are the needs in this community and how can CAPSLO contribute to helping those in need. So it's an ongoing, so it's a resource that's available on our website under publications. In June, we'll be publishing our new community action plan to show kind of what is the state of our county as far as the needs of our communities.
Yeah. What comes to mind when you're talking about the weatherization programs is my hunch is you're, in most cases you are talking about residences that are owned by the occupants. Do a lot of people have a concern about whether or not they financially qualify? I mean, someone who owns a home in this day and age, and if they've been in it long enough, they may have quite a bit of equity in it. I'm wondering if there's a concern that, oh, I won't qualify because of my financial resources to
call.
Be part of this.
Call. They should call. they should call because every situation is unique. And we also do a lot with renters, obviously. Hmm. They just have to have the approval of the owner. But if a family, an older couple has their home and they're in their 70s, I could bet with our collaboration and business with PG&E, they may need a new fridge or a new heater or whatever. So I encourage anyone who may be in need to call 805-544-4355. And you'll be referred to the energy program.
If you just Google CAPSLO, C-A-P-S-L-O, you're easy to find from that standpoint too. Yeah. Have we left any program out? I mean, we have lots to talk about, but I'm wondering if there's anything that we haven't spoken about that's kind of in the under the radar that's so far under the radar I wasn't even aware of it.
Well, our health services program with the county granting. Some of the ARPA money from during COVID. Thank goodness today we can say we've made it mainly through COVID. We received a grant to start a mobile unit. And our mobile health unit also goes to 40 Prado on Fridays. It goes all over the county to bring reproductive health services. And actually they found as they go to encampments in different locations, what people also need is pet care. These are people living out. You know, we haven't gotten them into 40 Prado, or Jana hasn't gotten them to Five Cities, or Wendy hasn't gotten them into the ECHO programs. And so this is all part of outreach. They get their medical care. I forget the name of the group that goes with them to do the pet care. And then community health centers and NOR Clinic do dental care. So this mobile clinic is able to be this mini clinic going around to needy areas. We still have our reproductive health clinics in San Luis Obispo and Arroyo Grande.
The mobile services, my hunch is you are finding a population that that has not been served specifically, because even if you hand some of that population the information on how to get services, if they have to get to those services, it becomes either I can't get to them,
right,
I don't know how to get to them, or I don't want to bother.
That's why we go to them, okay, where they are, in about 14 spots across the county. It's been miraculous.
There is this perception that we are not, as a, not just our county, not just our state, but as a nation, we have not figured out how to serve the homeless population in a way that actually gets people out of homelessness. I'm sure that you get complaints, you get objections, you get challenges all the time as far as 40 Prado. People drive by and feel like, you know, gee, what's really going on here? We have talked to Five Cities Homeless Coalition. We've talked to Echo. It's a realistic discussion for a problem that I think a good portion of the population doesn't understand how to fix. And how do you respond to the people who feel like we're not fixing it?
Well, I know.
Or what they can do to help us fix it.
Well, let me share one anecdote. A friend, a very good friend of mine from the Lunch Bunch I go to, I've known her 45 years. She owns some extra homes. She rents to two of our folks who have come with case management to live and pay and live in her apartment. Each of them has an apartment area to rent. It takes case management. I'm sure that all the providers have shared with you. Sometimes someone's, and my mind is now going so quick, we can help someone sometimes in a week, and we can help someone in a year, but our average stay at 40 Prado is 59 days. The number of and we can follow up and get you some of these statistics, Fred, because I don't want to quote them off the top of my head. With the new with the updated 90-day program, our 40 Prado and the staff and the collaboration with Five Cities and with Echo, with all of us, with TEMA, with Transitions Mental Health, with Lumina, we can be the backup for Lumina on when they don't have space, until they have space for a family who's fleeing domestic violence. The need for families is grown way beyond what we guessed would be what we'd need at 40 Prado. That's another story on 46. The case management and the housing support, I have learned from our expert staff. I'm not the expert. The contacts, sometimes a gentleman I met the other visited with the other day when we took our new board president, Lon George, on a tour of 40 Prado. A young man named Tyson was, and I can share this with his permission, he was homeless. He grew up, was born up in the Cambria area, but he had been in the LA area, wanted to come back here. Went through some support from Sun Street, came over to 40 Prado, stayed, began to be a volunteer. He volunteered 2,300 hours, thank you, Tyson, in the kitchen, working with Kevin, our incredible chef. He began his apprentice program in the kitchen. He is a Capslo employee. He's in his own apartment.
We'll pick up Tyson's story with some more detail. We just need to make a quick break. This is Central Coast Voices. We're talking with folks today from the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County, also known as Capslo. And I'm going to turn it back over to Brad for a quick break, and we'll be back with you, and we will pick up Tyson's story when we get back. Thank you. Cheers, Brad.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, a beautiful Brazilian supermodel turned influencer, turned life coach, and the young women who fell under her dark spell.
Sorry, what?
And when people cross me, how do I behave?
Very scary.
That's this week on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, journalist Gardner Harris talks about his book investigating Johnson & Johnson. Last month, the company lost a bid to settle lawsuits that claimed its talc powder products, including baby powder, caused cancer. Johnson & Johnson faces tens of thousands of claims. Harris's book is called No More Tears. Join us.
The American dream has long included owning a home, but for millennials, it's getting harder to see that dream come true.
In my head, I was like, oh, like when I have a house, I'll have like the open shelving in the kitchen, and it's just like, here's my Le Creuset.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Picket Fence, Personal Economies, next time on Marketplace.
And that's a look ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX, with Fresh Air coming up from 3 to 4, followed by Marketplace from 4 to 4:30, and then All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30, and Latino USA coming up at 2 o'clock. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests on today's Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Hi. Thanks. Thank you, Brad. This is Fred Monroe, and we are talking with the folks from CAPSLO. That's the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County. For some of you who have been around for a really long time, this is what used to be called EOC. The politics of it not being EOC anymore is a long discussion, but it's been CAPSLO now for...
Since 2009.
Okay. That was the voice of Biz Steinberg. And she's the CEO, and we also have Lauren Leidinger, who is with us. She's the Outreach and Development Director. Let's get back to the case situation with a new employee of CAPSLO that you were talking about.
Tyson worked through an apprenticeship program. He wanted to change his life. And we have a wonderful video of him sharing how all the resources at 40 Prado supported him. That means the people as well as the programs. Kevin, who is this incredible chef that had been in corporate-type kitchens, told us that day that this was the most rewarding job he has, not only cooking for our guests, but mentoring and coaching and overseeing apprenticeships so people can get ready to go and work in the food production industry. Tyson was so lucky because we had a job opening that he applied for. And now in that kitchen, it goes from 5:30 in the morning till about 8 at night because it's our kitchen for Head Start. I mean, we are this large organization, but we can have the benefit of the economy of scale in many of our operations, which the kitchen is one of them. His case manager is who really helped him and his housing navigator. It takes, for some folks, we were just talking during the break, our communications director is at Prado right now while we're here, and she's doing notaries for birth certificates, et cetera, because you need your history to qualify for certain support services. You want to get a job. You have to prove who you are. So we are there through every step. Sometimes, as I said earlier, might take a week or 2 weeks. A family was moving out that day, and it had taken a few months because the lack of the affordable housing units, whether single-room occupancy or two-bedroom apartments, it's slim. We have a lot in production right now with HASLO and people self-help housing, but they're far and few between.
And I do want to jump in and say that I think people have a perception of 40 Prado as maybe just an emergency shelter, but it is so much more than that. It is a true homeless services center. And for each person that may, you know, become unhoused for any particular reason, there's a different solution. And that's where case management comes in. But, you know, it is a 24/7, you know, service to the community. We have a day program or an access center program where people can come and take showers, get a meal, use the internet. They can use the address for their home address so that they have a base of operations. There are lockers there. There are pet kennels. We have an on-site medical clinic with CHC. We have, you know, so many different programs going on with different partners, with, you know, AA, with the NOR Clinic, with, you know, doing free eyeglasses for participants. We offer a safe parking at 40 Prado, which is the only place there is safe parking currently. So if people are not comfortable being in a congregate setting, they can be in their cars and still have access to all of the services and a bathroom at night. We have recuperative care there, which is for people who are just coming out of the hospital who don't have a place to go. So there are so many services there that I feel like people just don't know, which, you know, Biz said earlier, you know, let us know. Come, we'll take you on a tour.
Take you on a tour.
We'll show you all the great programs. And we are constantly, you know, we have such great professionals at 40 Prado who can see, you know, what our participants are experiencing. And we look for grants, you know, to fulfill the needs. So, for example, we were just re-granted funds through SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, to help people who have co-occurring substance abuse and mental health issues, which we know is very, very challenging when you're homeless. So we're constantly, you know, seeking ways to help serve these individuals who are experiencing these challenges.
I think we sometimes forget that even though Prado is in San Luis Obispo, between Five Cities Homeless and Echo and programs out of Santa Maria also, mm-hmm. the homeless services in our region are remarkably well coordinated because you guys all talk to each other.
We do. And actually, Cap Slow is kind of the leader of the community coordinated entry system. So basically, if someone comes to present themselves to Tima or to Five Cities or to Echo or to Cap Slow, we are all using the same database system, the HMIS system, to make sure that the person is receiving the, you know, the right sort of resources to them.
And future housing.
So that they can get kind of in the queue for housing. So we all work very closely together in that regard.
There is, and I truly apologize for not having more information about this already before I ask the question, which may seem like a ridiculous question. There's an expansion of the way some of these people are housed with the acquisition of the former motel. And there's, you know, Echo did it in Paso Robles. There's a project in the works in San Luis Obispo. I don't know
with people's self-help housing at the Motel 6.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that all of you are talking to each other means someone who doesn't fit for one program may indeed fit very well for somebody else.
And we all rally for that.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah, I've been around long enough to remember when we were lucky we had Maxine Lewis facility and made out of three old trailers, for lack of a better way of putting it.
And that property, if you're driving by, that's being built a new, I think it's 49 units being built by Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo for single room occupancy apartments. And they just finished the Anderson remodel, which took years. So little by little, more and more opportunities for housing, affordable housing, are coming online. And that we should all celebrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're down to a few minutes that we have left. I want to give you all a chance to give us a call, 805-781-3875, 805-781-3875. I want to also remind you that if you have questions for our guests and you don't want to be on the air, Brad will take your information and pass it on to us for the program. And if you would prefer, you can send an email to voices@kcbx.org, which we will pass on to our guests. My hunch is there are questions out there, and a lot of people who would be in need of services from Cap Slow may not want to talk about that. This is a public radio station, and it's a good discussion, but it may not be confidential enough for some people. We will pass on that information as needed. Are there any programs that we've not touched on yet that I've missed? I don't. You don't do too much, but you do so much, it's hard to keep track of it all.
You know, everything leads to increasing people's quality of life. One that's under health that we sometimes forget is our Liberty Tattoo Removal Program. And that was begun by our county and the probation department, but they asked us of maybe 20 years ago to if we would consider taking this. And, of course, after we looked into it and knew that it could be funded, we did. It's very volunteer-based, which we haven't said a lot about. We couldn't do everything we do without all our volunteers. So the clinic during COVID had to move from Sierra Vista Hospital Medical Suite, where it had been for like 16 years, to our clinic in Rio Grande. We have one three-quarter time coordinator and volunteer medical assistants, four dermatologists who rotate the clinic, and people donate who are getting a tattoo removal for each session. They donate 16 hours of their own volunteer time to any nonprofit that they would like to help. And I know we're getting short, but...
No, we're fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One of the young men I spoke to who got these tattoos socially unacceptable, you know, back when he was 14 or 15, his volunteer work was going to middle schools to talk to the kids about, now see how I'm, you know, he showed them how far he was. His neck was clean. But that he was not thinking when he was 14 and 15, and he just didn't want them to go through what he did and go through now getting them removed. And the other gentleman, we once had an art show of the before and after photographs. And, oh, it was a young woman. And she got a job so quickly because she said, to me, Biz, I didn't have to wear my turtleneck anymore. I could have a sleeve shirt or blouse. So if you are anyone out there who might be in need of this, and if you qualify income-wise, you'd volunteer 16 hours. We had one guest who had like 37 treatments. That's a lot. But this is what's happened to some folks. So it helps with employment. It helps with self-esteem. And there's mentoring that was these unintended consequences. Young people are hearing from someone who knows what's best to do.
I think you are talking about something that I think is key to our discussion about what you do and what a lot of nonprofits do, which is there are things that you think you know about as a provider to help others, but the people who have lived it share things with you that you wouldn't know otherwise.
That's right. And that's how we design our programs. During this whole community needs assessment every couple of years, anything new, that was one 20 years ago, right? And so we're constantly learning. We're a living laboratory. We are. That's what community action is in every 99% of the counties across this nation.
So if someone wants to volunteer, what are the resources available to them? Because my hunch is you get a lot of people saying, oh, I'd volunteer, but your programs seem so intricate and involved, I don't know if I've got the skills to do that. And so I think people sometimes self-select themselves out of the volunteer process, which can be very frustrating.
Yes, please don't self-select yourself out. I would encourage you to go to our website at capso.org and click on the volunteer button. There's an easy application, and then one of our volunteer, you know, leaders will reach out and learn more about you, what your skills are, what our needs are, and try to match them up. There are so many different programs that we've talked about today that need and rely on volunteers. So please, please, if you're out there and you're thinking about it, just fill out the form and let's see where it can take us.
I truly don't recall whether or not we talked about this pre-program or on the program, so I may be repeating myself, and to our listeners, I apologize. The fact that CAPSLO has programs outside of San Luis County, I believe, is a head-scratcher for a lot of people. I think I mentioned to you at some point before the program that I was surprised that I see as many Head Start buses in Salinas area that are from CAPSLO, and I'm assuming people are not driving off to Salinas for lunch.
You're right, Fred. You know, I think it's about 20. Well, we're celebrating 30 years with our San Joaquin State Migrant Center that the state of California came to me and asked if we would take this Montessori curriculum early childhood program and run it as, because the previous grantee did some things they shouldn't have. That was one example where we didn't even bid on something. But our quality, I think I'm very proud of the teams we have, the quality programs we offer. And that is why other counties, our state, the federal government have asked us, as has PG&E. We are in 5 counties with PG&E programs because of the quality of the work that's done. We are in 8 counties for migrant and seasonal Head Start because our strength in early childhood and family development, in my view, is just superb, and other communities wanted those services. Many times it was in the beginning, Fred, when you were there, it was for migrant and seasonal Head Start, serving the farm worker families, where other colleagues, it wasn't in their interest to do that. We brought quality, and all of a sudden, get through the pandemic, and our farm worker parents were known as essential workers. We all kept getting a safe and sanitary food supply. The energy program, it's interesting because we're in North Santa Barbara, San Benito, San Luis, a little bit of Monterey, and a little bit of Santa Cruz. When you offer quality programs, that lets our board know, it lets me know that we're doing what we are intended to do with the dollars that we safeguard from the private and public sector to do what we say we're going to do. And so we did. It was sort of our own economic development that evolved over time. Doing what we know how to do, not doing what we don't know how to do.
I believe as an organization, you've done a very good job of learning about what you don't know and getting the knowledge together. I think the fact that we are a reasonably rural county that is a leader in a regional area of the Head Start programs, I think is very admirable. I want to go back to, only because I want to make sure we don't lose track of it, I think there are people whose assumption is that Head Start programs are always full, Head Start programs are tough to get into. When you sent me some original notes and outlines for this program, I was very surprised to see one of your key things that you wanted to make sure we didn't forget to talk about was the fact that it's very easy to be part of the discussion and basically look at being part of Head Start by applying, if you
yes.
will.
Yes, and we even have QR codes now. Go on our website, www.capslo.org, and go to the children's section, and you are totally welcome to apply. We're at different outreach areas, centers in your area from Cambria to Napomo in this county. Have the applications if you live near there and you want to learn more, or you want to visit a Head Start center to see what it would be like for your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old. It's quality programming, and there is a lot of parent involvement and leadership training the parents can also learn from. I started as a student teacher in Head Start, so I am a cheerleader for Head Start.
I wanted to be careful that I danced around this adequately to remind you that we know that you started as a Head Start teacher.
Head Start student teacher.
A Head Start student teacher.
In college at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Yeah. Under the CAP agency. First for Madison, Wisconsin, Dane County.
Okay.
Fred, we've got a caller who called in. She didn't want to get on with the panel, but she did pass along a question. Sam called in from San Luis Obispo, and she was kind of referring to people that she sees in parking lots and other areas who are, you know, with their families, obviously seeking out help. She wanted to know if there was a good central location she could refer them to for services. And she mentions this in regards to the fact that the discussion indicated that a lot of these agencies are speaking to one another. So is there somebody specific that she could point somebody to get them into this system where these agencies are aware of these folks in need of support?
Is that in San Luis Obispo, or where was she calling from?
She was in San Luis Obispo, but she's referring, you know, to anybody outside of the, you know, in the county or somewhere else, you know, if there's places among these agencies that are speaking to one another that she could refer them to. But I think she's focusing, you know, on the SLO area for sure.
Well, if it's a family that's unhoused in a parking lot somewhere, we have room at 40 Prado and support services. We have a home base Head Start right at 40 Prado. If they have young children, that would be where I'd start in San Luis. But you can also be referred through our main number, or you could refer the family to our main number, and we can go to where they are and offer what is in the area. Say if it's Paso Robles or Cambria or Grover Beach or wherever.
Yeah, you know.
What is that number, if you could just pass that along to our listeners?
Sure. It's 805-544-4355. And I was just educated on this recently because I had someone call from the DA's office who was looking for help for someone that had been a victim of a crime. And so because of we lead the coordinated entry system, we can definitely refer folks countywide. And then there is a countywide resource in 211, you know, if people have questions. But if you want someone to come out or, you know, report something, we do have outreach workers that can, you know, coordinate with our partners countywide or can do outreach to them directly.
We appreciate the question, too.
Yep.
And in my traditional into the show, I will remind people that I talk too much, which means I always make sure that my guests get a chance to have the last word. I realize there are some last words I have to have after theirs because it's a radio program. But, Biz, I'll start with you. What do you want to make sure that people don't forget from today?
Please be aware of the website, capslo.org, and our phone number, 805-544-4355. We're really recruiting families with young children right now. If you are listening and you have your elderly parent or your spouse that is in need of support for dementia or Alzheimer's, or you have the diagnosis or you don't, we have an incredible program up in Paso Robles, same phone number for right now. And I'm sponsoring a film done by Steve Brody of Cambria, Hidden Creek. And it's about dementia, Alzheimer's. It's a wonderful film. Please come out April 28th at the Downtown Cinema from 3 till 5:30. Mr. Brody and the filmmakers will be there, and we will have our Mara, our program coordinator, and one of the families we're serving. Join us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren. I'm sure Biz left something out you'd like to have included.
Yes.
Okay, it's your turn.
Yes, thank you. Just to tag on to our work with people experiencing Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia, we do have a caregiver retreat coming up on Saturday, May 17th from 10 to 2. And it's a great way to find resources and get support for families that are experiencing this. They can call 805 805- 239-5679 to learn more. And then I also wanted to share that San Luis Obispo High School's Ceramics Club is doing their Empty Bowls fundraiser again this year for 40 Prado, the Homeless Services Center. So the event is Thursday, April 24th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's a $20 ticket that includes a beautiful handmade ceramic bowl filled with soup prepared by the culinary students. We were there last year.
It was wonderful.
Delicious. Yeah. And they also have an art exhibition going on at the same time of the students' work. So it's a great chance to support our high school students locally and to support the 40 Prado Homeless Services Center. And then as the Outreach and Development Director, I can't help but give a plug for supporting CAPSLO. If you have the means to give in-kind goods to support the 40 Prado shelter, we always are looking for sleeping bags and tents and underwear and socks. And all of those things are listed on our website under our homeless services program. And if you do have the means to consider making a donation, we really would appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Glad to have you here. I want to remind our listeners, if you don't think we're doing enough for homeless, both through CAPSLO and the other organizations, there's always more to do. But if you've been around the county for a while, think back to the days when we barely had the Maxine Lewis Center, and it was that and a few volunteers at a small church in Atascadero that were all struggling to figure out some way to address the homeless. It's a clear problem that's not being solved quickly, but it's a problem that is being addressed, and organizations like CAPSLO are doing admirable work. And very few people get turned away if people show up with a desire to improve their life. The key thing is that they know somebody's there to help them. It's been a pleasure to have this discussion today. I want to remind you, Chris Kington Barker will be doing the program next week. All of her plans have not been finalized yet, but she will do a great program next week. This is a project, as you know, of Central Coast Voices as public radio. KCBX has been part of this for a very long time. A side plug, Biz has been around in other capacities, because the fact that Central Coast Voices exists as a program at all is part of some efforts that Grace Mitchell and Biz Steinberg did 30 years ago, I believe, to make sure that we could have this kind of discussion on public radio. This has been Central Coast Voices. Again, thank you to Biz Steinberg, Lauren Leidinger, and those people behind the scenes like Brad Kyle. We're doing public radio to make this work for everybody, and we hope you enjoyed sharing the information. This has been Central Coast Voices.